8. And since we were in this Independence Celebration weekend, I thought I would kind of give you something to think about from the spiritual perspective of what your independence means to God. Amen? All right. John chapter 8, and I want to ask you to go to verse 31. And again, I have a New Living Translation Bible, and you have your smartphones and tablets, and you can pull up whatever version you like, but I'm going to make it work for us. Amen. As Ray Charles said, I'm just going to make it do what it do. Amen. All right. Whatever version you have, I got you. Amen. John 8, verse 31 says, Jesus said to the people who believed him, "You are truly my disciples if you keep obeying my teachings. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." God bless you. You may be seated. While you're getting yourself together, putting your stuff away and powering down your instruments, I want to talk with this thought in mind, an affirmation of independence. An affirmation of independence. God bless you. Those of you who have been educated in our public school systems, or even if you were educated at home, know that the 4th day of July has been set aside as what we now call Independence Day. And it is rooted and somewhat confused by what we call the Declaration of Independence. And those of you who did history know that the Declaration of Independence, in its original context, if you will, was intended to be a letter that we wrote to the King of England, declaring that we no longer belong to you. It was our version of a Dear John letter to the King of England. And with such, our founding fathers, or those who made up the Congress of that particular time, decided to put this letter of independence on the record, and they made proper addendums to it, and they said to themselves that this would be our freedom. And it is signed by those persons who were given opportunity to sign. And so it is. We have typically said that in 1776, if you look at the date on the document, it actually says 1775. I don't know what they did that year that they were goofing off, but anyway. And so it is that we, as citizens of these United States, do tend to subscribe to the Declaration of Independence. I thought to myself, well, that's wonderful. But when and where in the Declaration of Independence does it say anything about barbecue and chicken, marinating ribs, and drinking cold ones? I read it a couple of times. I looked for it, hoping to find it as a creed. But so what I'm saying is we tend to turn anything into a cause for celebration. I thought in line with that, that if we are going to truly express our independence, what greater independence can we express than that which we have in Christ Jesus? I put a note here in my sermon that that's what was going to happen. Because if I suggested to you a couple of 3 weeks ago that on Friday or Saturday past we were going to have a church cookout or a picnic, folk would have come from miles around. every time we talk about getting together and slapping our teeth and licking our chops, we have more folks show up than a little bit. But on this affirmation of Independence Day, there is something eerily strange about those who say they are the disciples of God. And so I thought that I would help you a little bit for the few moments that you would allow me to revisit, if you will, and be reinvested in your independence. We often say to people that whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. But I wonder, what are the byproducts? What are the evidences of that freedom? Is that freedom based on what we drive, or is it a freedom based on what we have? Is it a freedom based on what we have been forgiven of or from? Is it a freedom based on our position or our prosperity? What is truly the intent or extent, if you will, of a freedom found in Christ Jesus? We say that whom the Lord sounds like people, persons, individuals, a collective, a group, a congregation, constituency. It sounds as if God is talking to us. Whom the Lord has sounds to me that it is a done deal. It is not whom the Lord will set free or might set free. It is whom the Lord has set free. I'm trying to get a rise out of you. I'm trying to get you to understand that it has not happened in 1775 or 1776. It has not to do with a bicentennial or sesquicentennial. It has to do that the day that Jesus hung, bled, and died, he made you free. And because you are free, there ought to be an evidence in your worship, in your praise, in your service, in your life, because the Lord has. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It's in your mouth. It's in your praise. And you ought to be able to affirm and defend that I am free. There's an old song we used to sing in the church that says, I am free. Praise, you know, that song, that the one. And the reason they sing it with such confidence is because they believed in their freedom. I often make people mad around King Holiday, because I tell them I'm sick and tired of hearing "We Shall Overcome," especially the way some of us sing it. It's like we're on our way to the cemetery. We're dragging our heels, weighing out our feet, singing like we on a dredge. But the Lord has made us free. I'm not saying there's no struggle. I'm not saying there are still yet some issues in society. But in the spiritual realms, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. We ought to be able to shout from the top of every mountain and even in every low place that the Lord has made me free. And because I'm free, it's a lifestyle I choose to live. The strange thing is, when you look at independence and you look at the affirmation of our faith, is that the irony that crops itself up oftentimes is that those who need a savior act like they don't need a savior. Those who are in desperate conditions have learned to camouflage their condition by appearing in casual conversations and casual convenient meetings as if everything is fine, when in fact the bondage of sin has us captive, our mouths have been sealed, our hands have been shackled, our feet don't move, because we cannot affirm that I am free. So he says, if you're truly my disciples, if you really get this, you're going to hang in there and you're going to be able to show the world that you are free. You're going to be able to live your life in such a manner that the world will not question that you and you and you and you are the children of God. I had a note right there too. I said you and you and you and Lottie, Dottie, and everybody ought to be able to live your life in such a way that the world will know that you are the children of God. That you are free in the Lord. We are not in bondage. We don't have to sing, I've been working on the railroad all the live long day. We just sing about our freedom. There are those of us who are in the church, deeply rooted and established, but not in Christ Jesus. Had a note right there too. I said, there are those of us who are in the church, can show you the bricks our mama bought, the pew my family sponsored. Our names are on the rolls, but we are not in Christ Jesus. And the church can't make you free. The text says that the Lord's truth shall make you free. The truth of the Lord is the word of God. Not hearsay. Not innuendo. But true. My sheep hear my voice. That's what the Lord says. And they do what I say. That's going to wrinkle up some skirts right along through here. Some of us don't want nobody to tell us what to do. I don't care who it is. But I heard the Lord say, my sheep hear my voice. And they do what I say. Because they're children. How many parents can I get to testify very quickly that you've ever had to apply some discipline because your children didn't do what you say? And of those of you who are willing to raise your hand, how many will raise them high and say, I'd rather enjoy the moment? I've never been opposed to whipping time. Some of you parents are going to need counseling. So the Lord says, these are what my sheep do. This is what they look like. And so, Pastor, the affirmation of our independence comes. How? How does this happen for us? Because, again, I can rest assured, I bet I could probably make a good bet off this one. None of you on Friday, whatever day you decide to do your cookout, yesterday, whatever it is, none of you concerned yourself with governmental issues. None of you thought about kings and bondages and ships and Plymouth Rock and all that. No, all you thought about was what time does them ribs come off the grill? And don't burn the hot dogs like that. I mean, listen, all we thought about was having a good time. Nobody thought about our forefathers. No, nobody really even thought about slavery yesterday. No, nobody toasted up a cold one to Uncle Buck who got beat. Nobody called Kunta's name. Nobody thought about Miss Lizzie. Nobody thought about that kind of stuff. All we thought about was ourselves. And what time do them ribs come off the grill? The reality for us in the Christian church is we got to learn how to look at things from God's perspective. I'm about finished. I got a little time. You cannot be a Christian and not have a Christian perspective. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. See, I got five amens. I can count. So I'm going to say it again. You're in the world. I'm not opposed to cookouts. I'm not opposed to recreation. I'm not opposed to any of that kind of stuff. Though you would have blood pressure, no, you can't eat pork, but you eat it anyhow. You say things like, well, a little rib ain't going to hurt me. Where the vinegar at? Get the beef rib. You know, I mean, I'm not, listen, I'm not antisocial. But I want you to be all spiritual. God ain't got nothing against you having fun. They kill the fatted calf. They drink new wine. That brought some of y'all back in, didn't it? Reverend said we can drink new wine. That means go back to the store again. No, he says, this is what we're looking for. We have an opportunity to come out of darkness into the marvelous light and live there forever. You want your children to be lenders and not borrowers? Bring them out of darkness. You want your families to be the head and not the tail? Bring them out of darkness. And I hear the Lord saying, this is what I have done, this is what I know, and this is what will happen. God is our Father. Heaven is our home. It's a matter of life and death. True independence is not in a document. It is in the doctrine of a God who will not compromise. God says, I would that none of them would perish. That's independence. That's freedom. Most of us in this room, if we had to take the test, we would fail. You know, they give that citizenship test every year for folk who go there and they do ceremonies. And most of us in this room, it is statistically proven that most U.S. citizens could not pass the citizenship test. If we ask you, what are the branches of government? See how y'all looking at me? If we ask you, how many amendments are there in the Constitution? If we ask you even what the 13th Amendment was, some of you would fail. Based on the looks that y'all giving me, all y'all gonna fail. This is retest day for everybody. So the reality is, what are you saying, Pat? I'm saying what you don't know can hurt you. But what you must know is gonna help you. Thank you, whoever that is. Appreciate you. Dinner's on me. Here it is. He says, well, this discipleship doctrine is an emancipator. It's a freeing document. There's a clause written in the blood of Jesus that will set you free if you get it. Here it is. First point, Reverend Tucker, is to understand that when we are coming to this affirmation, in other words, you can't affirm what you don't know. Okay? That makes sense? You can't affirm what you don't know. If you don't know you're free, if you don't know the independence that is Christ Jesus, because if you've been told that going to church is all you got to worry about, you don't know nothing. You've been fooled. You've been duped because people say things like, well, as long as you go to church, you're going to be all right. I don't want to just be all right. Because God never made me to be all right. I'm better than all right. I'm all that all right. And so he says, well, this is what happened. First of all, understand, it's personal and possessive. That's point number one. How do you say it? He said, because you are, that's personal, and my disciples. That's possessive. See, y'all didn't get that. What Jesus always says to us is personal and possessive. Whatever he says is because you belong to him, and he says what he says because you belong to him.
And he said that to you because you belong to him. We are not our own. We are the redeemed of the Lord. See, a shout goes right there. So I say it again. We are not our own. We're not independent. We're not trying to figure out how to do this. We're not just trying to make it. We're not barely getting by. We are the redeemed of the Lord. He has redeemed us with a great price. God is talking to us. It is possessive. In that you are my disciples. Here it is. The first part, the you are. I like this. This is good, Dick Davis. It's a grace greeting that's guaranteed. He says you are. Look at the name and say, you can put your name right there. Yeah, you can put your name on it. You are. That's a grace greeting that's guaranteed. The Lord is talking to us. He says you are. You are a people now that once weren't a people because he declared you independent. You are saved who were not saved. You are brought close who were once far away. Boy, y'all don't know gospel. That's all over the Bible. You are is a grace greeting that's guaranteed. In other words, for God so loved the world, you are the world. He speaks to us. Grandma was right that just a little talk with Jesus will make everything all right. He speaks to us. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the... I want to hear the voice of the Lord. And he makes it personal. Remember the blind man alongside the road when others were trying to get him to shut up, leave Jesus alone. All of a sudden when Jesus called him, everybody turned on his side. And say, be encouraged, for he calleth thee. I bet somebody else standing on the side sucking their teeth saying, I should have said something. I want Jesus to talk to me. You are. The second subtopic of the matter is to understand when he talks about my disciples. That's redemptive. But also relationship that's divine. He said, my, in other words, you once weren't, but you are now. How do you become? By the redeeming works of this Christ who now speaks to us. My disciples. It's a relationship. It is of God. We are now the elect of God. A chosen and peculiar folk. Tell your neighbors, I knew you act funny for a reason. You're a peculiar folk. Some of y'all rather enjoy that. Tell somebody else, say you too. Yeah. He said, listen, you have a redemptive order on your life that you didn't even ask for. Relationships. He said, my disciples. You don't belong to me. You don't belong to him or her. But it is a work that's personal and possessive. And God, because he possesses us, he protects for us and provides for us and he prepares for us. You read it in the word of God. He said, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am. That's personal. And he said, if it were not so, I wouldn't lie to you. Look at the name and say, don't lie to me. I've been lied to enough. It's personal. It's possessive, but it's also preparatory. In that God says, everything that I'm going to give up down here is so you can inherit something up there. I see what you're doing, God. Ride on, King Jesus. Don't you stop at Calvary. Don't you stay in the tomb. You got to go all the way. Because the only way I can get to where you are is for you to go first. Press on. He said, well, it's not only that. He said, it's not only personal and possessive. I'm almost done now. Here it is. Here it is. Just a few more minutes. The second thing to understand is there is a preposition that requires practical participation. In other words, it's right there in the text. He said, if you, remain faithful. That's a good proposition there. And I would ask you to look at somebody and ask them, will you remain faithful? Here's the proposition. He said, and I like the way Jesus said it. He said, now, it's right there in the text. He said, and if you just keep my commandments, that's a good proposition. How many of y'all ever been? No, I've been not asked that. I don't take that out. That's a risk right there. You ask people about being proposition, you will lose the service. Okay. So if I preach this one next time, Deacon Walker, I won't put that. But it's a proposition that requires practical participation. If you remain faithful, there it is. If you, that's a good proposition there, remain faithful. You got to practice this faithfulness. What are you saying, Pastor? Listen, here it is. Here it is. This is how God talks to us. Y'all still with me? God, this is going to blow your socks off, so pull your socks up tight. Here it is. God often allows us choices based on commands, but the command is that you make a choice. Boy, y'all missed a shot right there. It is a choice without command, because he's not saying you have to. Boy, y'all don't know good preaching. It's a choice without command, yet he commands that you make a decision. He said, if. He said, I'm going to make it. He didn't say, I'm going to hold the whole world hostage till they submit to me. He said, if you. And you know what? That's, again, individual choices. You can't save your whole house, but you can live saved in your house. No, see, here it is. Here it is. All right, everybody like to do Joshua. As for me and my house, as for me. What Joshua is saying is, I got some work to do here, but if you keep watching us, we're going to get this right. He said, if you, it is up to you as an individual whether you'll be independent or not. Not independent like soul runner, but independent like saved in the body of Christ. He said, you have to. Here it is. Second piece to it is, he said, it requires a dedication and determination to a doctrine that does not deviate nor discriminate. I'm preaching real good. It requires that because he says you got to remain. Oh, here it is. It's going to get real quiet on the left side. Right side, y'all the shouters. Here it is. Because we are too selective and sometimes with our salvation, when what salvation requires is a steadfastness that does not waver. He said, listen, you have to be dedicated and determined to the doctrine. In other words, that word I've hidden in my heart is not just a cliche. It's a call to righteousness. To them who have been given righteousness from him who is righteousness. And you can't deviate. I don't like it when he talk about tithing. That's a deviation. Ah, that love that neighbor thing. You don't live where I live. Deviation. Well, see, that's for the sisters. Discrimination. See, that verse there, that's just for the deacon. Discrimination. Have I lost all my friends? You got to remain faithful. Nudge your neighbor and say, why not? Here it is. He said, remain faithful to my teachings. That's doctrine. The church is not about chandeliers and carpets and cushioned pews and stained glass windows and vans and food ministries. It is about salvation. And if our stained glass windows, chandeliers, carpets, and pews reflect only this, we're in trouble. Because none of this saved any of you. But some of you, if we didn't have this, wouldn't show up. I ain't going to an old rundown church. You know what runs the church down? People. You know what builds the church up? People. He said, listen, my teachings. You don't come to Bible study. You don't come to Christian Academy. You come to church. And even when you come to church, you ain't here. Because it's quiet in here sometimes. I don't know how good a sleep you get at home, but some of y'all master sleeping in here. Hey. He said, listen, it requires a dedicated determination. Because he said, listen, the world gonna come after you because of me. Here it is. If the world ain't after you, you might be a little low on him. If there is no conflict among your constituency regarding your connection to Christ, you might not be as connected as you collect us to be. Because the word says, I gave them the word and the world turned because they had the word. John 17. He says, if you are going to stay with me, you'll be free. He said, you got to listen. You got to learn. You got to be led. You can't leave. I throw that into the bonus. And you got to like how you being led. Here it is. Jesus is in the midst of a conflict there. He turns around, looks at the disciples and says, listen, y'all going with the rest of them? Because this is how it is. This is how life with me is. Life with me is about sacrifice. It is about the eating of the flesh and the drinking of the blood. And if you're going to leave, now is a good time to go. So you got to listen. Got to learn. Got to be led. And you can't leave. What is there besides Christ? See, y'all quiet. I'm so serious that you don't get this. It's scary. You got to listen to him. It's right there. He said, if you really want to be my disciples, you got to listen to me. Our ears hear everything. You ever try not to hear something and you hear it? You can't turn them off. And there's no switch. Even if you put your fingers in your ear and go, nah, 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 you still hear stuff. And so Jesus says, it is, here it is, I told you it was going to happen this morning. It is the display of divine discipleship decorum. Because when people see us, they ought to see him. And if they don't see him, we should stay home so they don't see us. Let your light so shine. So that when men see, have I lost everyone? He said, listen, you got to understand that the proposition requires your practical participation. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not asking you to do anything that I'm not already showing you how to do. Here it is, number three, almost done. It is a promise that's based on promise. What is that, Pastor? He said, you will know the truth. That's a promise based on promise. You will know the truth. How many of you know the truth? Okay. I will, for the record, identify for those of you who are always looking forward and never look around. Not everybody raised their hand. But the promise that he makes to us, see, if Jesus only said he would give us stuff, we'd shout till we pass out. We'd be running around boasting and bragging about how God gave us cars and houses and money and clothes and health and fine hair and fine jewelry. But that's not what he said. That's why prosperity ministries do better than doctrine ministries. Because we like for people to tell us we're going to get stuff. But you got something. You got the word of God. You got eternal life. What else do you need? I brought nothing in. Look at them and say, neighbor, you're way ahead of the game. Concerning where you started, you're way ahead. Here's the promise. What kind of promise, Pastor, so you can leave us alone? Okay. It's a prophet's promise. Yeah, it's a prophet's promise. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's a prophet's promise. We already told our neighbor earlier, don't lie to me because we've been lied to enough. But here's the prophet's promise. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What Jesus is saying is, I assure you that if you stick with me, even when everything has gone to nothing, there is a place for you. I promise you that when everything starts to burn up and floods come and mountains crumble and valleys are low, you have a place with me. And no matter how bad it gets, it's still all good. Why? He said, because even the dead in Christ will rise. Even the dead in Christ, yes, because they have their independence assured. That's why you don't have to worry about dying. I know I ain't going to get no amens right here. Because some of y'all are going to live forever. God bless you. I want to drink from the cup you drink from. I'm going to turn it around the other side. But, you know, he said that even the dead, why? Because the affirmation of their independence is an assurance. Based on an allocation that I made, I promised them that they would. So even when the devil thinks he's winning, Jesus leans over and said, Daddy, I promised them that I would. Even when you're sick in your body, when your money has gone, Jesus leans over and said, Daddy, I promised them that I would. When people turn on you and act funny, in fact, the word of God reminds us that even if our mother and father were to forsake us, he says, I promised them that I would. And that's why we sing in the church that the Lord will make a way somehow. I thank God for Jesus. I'm going to leave you alone now, but I thank God for Jesus. Because I'm living on the prophet's promise. And I realized a long time ago that if God be for me, I'm all right now. I thank God that when he made his promise, he signed his name. He shed his blood. He sacrificed his life. That's more than enough. I thank God that when I was sinking deep in sin, I thank God when I was far from the peaceful shore, I thank God when I was weary, wounded, and sad, I thank God when I was broke up and tore up from the floor, I thank God when I couldn't lift up my head, when I couldn't open up my mouth, when I couldn't shout for joy, that he made a way somehow. I thank God that he picked me up, turned me around, and made everything all right. I'm going to sing because I'm happy. I'm going to sing because I'm free. I thank God for Jesus. Every breath I take, every move I make, I thank God for Jesus. Because if it had not been for the Lord, I said, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I'd have been dead and sleeping in my grave. But early one Sunday morning, I said, early one Sunday morning, he got up out of that grave with all power in his hand. He called my name, said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God he called my name. I thank God he washed me just as white as snow. I thank God for Jesus. He picked me up, turned me around. Didn't he do it? Didn't he do it? I thank God for Jesus. And that's why I tell it everywhere I go that Jesus is Lord. He's my rock. He's my water. He's my bridge. He's my help. He's my hope. He's my joy. He is. He is. He is. Yes, he is. I got a promise. It's a prophet's promise.
that everything is going to work out in the end. He made me free. And free don't mean I got to have everything. As long as I got Jesus. I said, as long as I've got Jesus, I got it. Thank you, Lord, for making me free. There is but one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. You don't have to run all over the land looking for the right church. You just need to meet Jesus. Because when you meet Jesus, in the famous words of the Pepsi commercial of the 90s, you got the right one, baby. Uh-huh. He is my all in all. I tried him for myself, and he's all right. Let's stand on our feet together. We're going to go. It's church time. It's time for us to make our decision. As they would often say, without any further delay or further ado, any further business being concerned or considered, what is your choice? Will you walk with him, or will you walk away from him? The Bible says that after Jesus had finished one of his most hard to swallow, if you will, sermons, or made a hard statement, the Bible says many walked away. So they walked with him no further. They went on back to their jobs, their houses, their families, their children. They just walked away. And we have an opportunity on this first Sunday, this Independence Day celebration, to either walk with him or will you walk away? For whom the Lord has set free. Boy, it sure sound good when you say it. It'll sound a whole lot better when you live it. For whom the Lord, listen, the Lord wants you to be free. I remember I used to go to church as a young fella. I would sit right back there in the back with all the other young folk. Couldn't turn my ears off, so I heard what the preacher was saying. But I probably never will forget that day. I pray unless my mind does a Miss Daisy and take a turn. But I never will forget that day when I discovered freedom. My friends tried to get me to come back and sit down. They said, where you going? All I know is I kept walking. And as I came up the side of the church, folks start clapping, you know, they do that. But I couldn't really hear them clapping. All I could see was the pastor's hand. And looked like he had his eyes on me the whole time he was preaching. And looked like he just wouldn't take his eyes off me when he made the invitation. And as I came up the side of the church, looked like he was just pulling me. And then I felt another pull. The devil was saying, you can't go up there. You don't even know what's going on. You ain't ready. And I kept walking. And when I got to the preacher, he asked me that question. What did you come for? So I didn't know what to say. I kind of just looked at him with big eyes like this. And I kind of looked around for my mom, and people were standing and clapping. I could hardly see her. And he looked at me and squeezed my hand a little bit. I said, what did you come for? And I felt this urge to run. But one side of me was saying, you can't go now. The people's is looking. And then he did something that made my life different. He changed everything. Sandra, when he looked at me, he kneeled down a little bit and said, what can the Lord do for you? I knew then. I said, I want to be free. And he said, you'll be free. And he asked me, because back then they helped you a little bit. He said, if you'll repeat after me. He said, and if you don't believe what you're saying, don't say it. But I was free. Now, in freedom, there's a lot of process. Don't get it twisted. Because a whole lot of us have come down that aisle and made our declaration. But we didn't really make our determination. I'm just saying to you today, if you want to be free, let the Lord do it for you. Because I saw it in his word in the Gospel of John. He said, listen, I came to do it for you. If you're standing in this room today, press your way down the aisles, come around the wall, but don't leave here in bondage. Take the proposition. Take him at his word. Who then can be saved, they ask. These can be saved. As the Roman letter declares, you'll just confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. You shall be saved. And the redeemed of the Lord should say so. Whom he hath redeemed with a mighty hand, brought us up to take us in. If you're in the room today, you've not accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you ought to do so. I'm not asking you about coming to church. That's like asking you, do you go to the store? I'm not asking you about coming to church. I'm asking you, would you give your life that you might be free? And the only freedom I know is in Christ Jesus. Would you come now? Is there one? If you need restoration, you'd like to realign yourself with the Lord, if you'd like to get back on that walk, would you come? Would you give yourself a fighting chance? Paul tells Timothy that you've got to fight the good fight of your faith. Can we encourage you in your faith today to know that you're not that far away? You are not that far away. In the day that you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. And James says, draw near unto God, and he'll draw near unto you. Would you encourage somebody, perhaps on your pew, just by telling them you're not that far away? You're not that far away. You're not the worst of the worst. You qualify for salvation. Yes, you do. I know you think that you're raggedy. I know you think that you're the worst. I know you think that you're beyond redemption, but you're not that far away. In fact, you're closer than you might have ever been, because you're in the house of the Most High God. You made it this far. You took this chance. Don't leave without your independence. If you're in the room today, would you trust God one more time that the Lord will make you free? If you're looking for a church home today, God bless you, daughter, as you come. God bless you. Sister Kim, we thank God for you. Come on and bless the Lord. I need some help here. God bless you, Sister Kim. God bless you. God knows we love you. Thank God for you today. God bless you. God is a God of many chances. Don't leave without him. Lift up your head. Be encouraged to know that Jesus loves you with a love that's not compromised and will always love you. He opens his arms to you and says, come to me. Come to me. Come from where you are to where I am, that we can go home together. Come from your dungeons. Come from your bondage. Come from your pain. Come to me. And I will. I will. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I know that's right. I know he will. He did it for me. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Whosoever you are. Our doors are open. God bless you. God bless you. My encouragement to you is to be encouraged. As God continues to minister in your life, hold fast. You come this far by faith. Hold on. Just keep holding on, because he won't let you go. Hallelujah. God bless you, dear.
Yes, ma'am. Well, we had a nice conversation.
Yes. We'll let you update some information for you. While we're standing, we've tried to make it clear to you today how important it is that you understand this is what God really wants to do for you. And from right where you are, just where you are, my prayer to God today is that he'll meet you where you are, and that the Lord himself will begin the process of taking you where he has prepared for you. That our journey with the Lord will begin afresh in every life. And if you're in this room today and you just want to admit that where you are is your start place, and that you want to get a little further along the journey, but you need the Lord's help to do that, I just want you to affirm that in your life today. Then, Lord, I need your help. I'm fighting all I know how. I'm pressing all I know how. But, Lord, I need your help. And between you and the Lord, the last place you stopped is the place you're going to start. No matter where you stop that, that's where you're going to start. You don't have to go all the way back to the beginning. And you don't have to fool yourself that you made it any further. Where you stopped, now that's where you're going to start. And God says, I'll meet you there. He comes to us. You know, the old church used to sing things like, I found the Lord and stuff. You can't find the Lord because he ain't lost. I know it seems like a play on word, but it's a theological impossibility. You lost. He finds us. And the good news is that wherever he finds us, That's a good start place. Some of us were found high, some found low, some in, some out. But thank God for Jesus and his amazing grace. Amen. Some of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's easy. Sis Kim is part of our family, been with us a long time, and she's back with us. Amen. I'll tell you something. You know, when Kim was here a long time ago, she ain't aged a bit. You look about the same. You were an usher, weren't you? Yeah, you worked in usher ministry. Always a pleasure. Yeah, the same smile she got now. She got a little wrinkled face right now, but she had a beautiful smile, just as friendly as she can be. Her daughter was a little bitty girl. She's a grown lady now. And I met her at the homegoing celebration of Sister Powell, and I was looking at her. I said, I know that young lady from somewhere. You know, brothers, you can't stare at a sister but so long before they might get the wrong idea and want to hit you upside the head or something. But she came home and she said, you remember me? You know me, I don't like to be outdone. I said, oh, yeah. She said, no, you don't. And we started talking, but she said, you know what? I got to come back. And I told her, I said, it's simple. It's no big deal. You know, you just do that. Because that's how God is. But she kept her promise. She kept her promise. And she's already doing evangelistic work. Last Sunday, she had a friend all the way from Danville. Young lady chased me down and said, I just want you to know that Kim brought me. I said, boy, if Kim bring one a week, she good. Well, lo and behold, Kim got another guest. I said. So we're thankful to God. I'm praying that God would empower you to keep your light shining. Because it's obvious that whatever your testimony was, they were convinced that you were credible. Your testimony about the Lord was credible. And others said, I'm going to church with her. God is saying to you in no uncertain terms that you are home. And we praise God for you. Aren't we excited about that? We thank God for you. Now, as much as many of us stand around and watch stuff, we got to stop watching and start participating in people's lives. So we gonna all participate together. Encourage Sister Kim and everybody else that we keep walking and we keep pressing on that upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, be encouraged. You're not alone. Amen. Standing together, we're standing together. God bless you, Kim. We're going to pray our way out today. It's just a little past the hour of one. Ain't too bad. God, our Father, we thank you for Kim and all the other Kims that either did not, would not, or feared this transition. We welcome our sister into this house. We pray, God, for all of the lost time. Pray, God, that you would bridge that gap in her life, the life of her household. Oh, God, that she would press her way now and we would help her press. Thank you, Lord, she kept her promise because you're a God of promise. And we embrace her today in love. And stand with her. And we, Lord, promise, we pledge to fight for her very life. We will not allow the devil, the father of lies, to lie to her, lie on her. we're going to fight with her. And we won't let her fall to the left nor to the right, but we'll help her be steadfast and unmovable. We encourage her life. Pray, God, that the things that she stands in need of, because you're a God of provision, that you'll meet her in those places, not only today, but forevermore. We thank you for Kim, Lord. She encourages us today to know that there are still those who seek your face in this house. And God, we bless the ears and eyes that were witnesses today, that we would also be encouraged for our sons and our daughters, our friends, our neighbors, and even the stranger, so our lights would shine and the world will know. God, we celebrate life among this people today. We say blessings upon every family, blessings upon every child, blessings, not curse, not pain, but blessings of healing and restoration, of safety and prosperity. Bless your people, Father. They've come from near and far. And Lord, as we prepare to leave out from this place, blessings. You said every place that we place our foot, you would bless us. So we're going to guard our footsteps carefully, for we are the blessings of the Lord. And you said when we put our hands to the plow, that we shouldn't look back. So we will be steadfast. We'll stay focused, Father, keeping our eyes on the cross. Thank you, Lord, for your son, Jesus. Heal those that are sick. Lift those that are down. Strengthen they that are weak. Oh God, thy will be done in the lives of this people. Please, God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you. Come on and hug Sister Kim. Put a little kiss on her face. Bless somebody. Say something nice to at least 4 or 5 people. And we pray, God, to see you again real soon. Amen.